7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Howdy, Croc Nation. Dr. Tom Iannelli here with you with another amazing podcast to help you on your journey. Angel Santana, have faith, let it begin on the other side of the computer glass. Angel, how are you, my friend?
What's going on, everybody? I'm so excited to be here and these frigid, crazy temperatures. But you know what? The Croc Podcast has warmed us up, and it's another Sunday.
Thank God. Thank the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank God. I am talking to you all from my basement today, a new location for the podcast. And let's see how it works. So, Angel, we're still in search of the person we want to be. We're on part four. This podcast, I think, is going to be one of my favorites. And that I think we have titled Taking Your Own Psychological Vital Signs. And I'll explain that to you all. But to go backwards, like this is a Batman episode and kind of a going back. So for whoever didn't see the first three episodes, what we are trying to do is we're trying to leverage. And believe me, leveraging your cancer diagnosis is no easy thing to leverage because for the most part, it's done nothing but harm you, hurt you, destroy you, change your entire world and cause nothing but fear and absolute terror in your life, as well as making you not feel well. So anytime I use the word or we try to put together a few podcasts to try to leverage your cancer, there's very few times when we can do that and turn it into a positive thing. But for this type of trauma that you guys have been through, there is a point of leverage. And that point is that trigger, that tragic event that causes our survivors to become laser focused on their life, laser focused on their treatments, laser focused on their cure. Laser focused on trying to be not only healthy physically, but spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, and really to be that person that they want to be. And that's the leverage that I'm talking about when we're doing these podcasts. And even though these podcasts can be applicable to pretty much anybody, I really feel strongly the reason why we're doing this, since we're a cancer support podcast, is for our cancer survivors to be able to leverage their diagnosis. Because let's face it, all of us who don't have cancer are walking around like a bunch of clueless zombies. We think we're somebody that we're absolutely not. We're completely in denial. We completely have our heads underneath the sand. Whereas our cancer survivors are, you know, that mask of, you know, that masquerade of immortality is gone. That masquerade of, you know, what we always believed is no longer true. That's gone. You completely have become skeptical of your own worldview. And God bless you all. I know you're listening to this podcast to get better in every way. And sometimes we talk about emotions. Sometimes we talk about the social side. Sometimes we talk about the spiritual side. Most of the time we talk about the medical side, but today we're going to be talking about, or these series of podcasts, we'll be talking about the psychological side. So that's the connection between, you know, betwixt in search of the person you want to be and how it relates to our survivors. So we started with that sort of journey, like, who are we? Is that a question that you even have ever bothered to ask yourself? The second part is confronting our past, every single person. There's not one person who has had a perfect past, a perfect childhood, an absolutely, you know, unblemished life journey without any zero trauma or adverse events. So we have to come to grips with that. And hopefully most of our listeners don't have much to confront. And some of our listeners will have a heck of a lot on their plate to confront. Last week, we talked about the dark side of our moons. We talked about the fact that there is a dark side to all of us, whether we want to accept it or not, and trying to find that dark spot. find that dark part of the moon of our personalities, of our psyche, and, you know, introduce ourselves to them and be okay to them. And today we want to find out, how can we really judge in real time where we are psychologically or in our personalities or in our, you know, in that world of how we interact between what we think in our minds we are or who we are, and with another individual, another few individuals, another group of individuals, a spouse, a child, a parent, a neighbor, a colleague, a coworker. You know, how could we tell, as we begin our journey back, we've taken you down to the depths, and slowly Angel and I will start building you back up. But are there mechanisms available to help us gauge where we are psychologically currently, where we are right now? Because if we can find out who we are right now, we want to find out who we are, who we were, and how to become who we want to be. Angel, your thoughts before we go deep diving.
I think that's the number one question that everyone can relate to, is who we are. And you can't determine who you want to be until you've determined who you are as a person. So that's where I would begin that journey if it was asked in that two-part question.
And, you know, we do it in a way where we break things up into categories, and we try to, you know, guide you through. And then, of course, at the end, we're always going to come up with a solution, because we never just identify problems. We always want to give you a solution. So I have a medical analogy. So, Angel, I believe you told me before we went live that you have a couple of doctor appointments coming up.
Absolutely.
You have one for you and you have one for the kids. So the first thing that happens is you go into the waiting room, right? And we've already done a podcast on that. Probably our most popular podcast about all the bad things and some of the good things that happen in a waiting room. But once you get past the waiting room, Angel, you get brought into a room. And then what happens next?
Usually the nurse will bring you in and ask you why you're here. They take down your vitals, your...
Stop. Stop. You did it. You nailed it. You nailed it perfectly. They take your vital signs. So you walk into the doctor's office, you get past the reception room, you get into the room, you have this little paper gown on, you know, with your little weenie, you know, covered up, and you're got your butt hanging out and the whole thing. And then this medical assistant comes in, or a nurse comes in, they take your blood pressure, your weight, they take your temperature, your pulse, your respiratory rate, your pulse oximeter. Sometimes they'll do an EKG or a chest x-ray. Sometimes they'll draw some blood. And believe it or not, these seemingly simple and innocuous numbers and data can sometimes be the first clue to an impending catastrophe. And what I want to do today is I want to start looking at some of these vital signs, taking some of these vital signs and making an analogy to our personalities, to where we are as people. And we're going to do this in two parts, because there's a lot. I broke it into nine categories. So we'll do four today, and we'll do the rest next week. So we could really take our time and do it right without exceeding the attention span of our amazing listeners. And I want to also make sure that we recognize a range. So if you go into your doctor, they draw your CBC, you notice that there's a range. There's a normal range that has, you know, however large or long that those numbers are. Just say with a hemoglobin might be anywhere normal between 11.8 and 14.8. And then you have that sort of gray zone that's maybe 11.7, 11.6 or 14.9 or 15 or whatever. And then you have the different variations on the low end of the scale and a little bit of on the large end of the scale. And what you guys will quickly realize is that every single thing that we talk about today in each of the nine categories, all of us have a bit of them. You know, we all have a touch of this and a touch of that. And I want, again, to keep the analogy going, I want you guys to think of everything as a range. Like, you might have a little paranoia But you're not going to be ridiculously paranoid like Angel that the gopher or the groundhog is going to basically, you know, eat up his entire, you know, take the foundation of his house and his house is going to collapse into China. You know, sometimes the paranoia gets a little bit too much. Angel, also between me and you guys out there, me and you guys, just me and the survivors, is between us. Don't tell Angel. He is very paranoid. Also about appliance companies. He just does not get along with Frigidaire and, you know, Bed Bath and Beyond. I mean, this guy, when it comes to the range on paranoia, he's off the scale. So I just want to let you guys know that off the cuff. Angel, you're allowed to listen again.
No comment.
There you go. So the question is, why can't we construct a psychological / personality vital sign that can likewise be the first clue to an impending catastrophe in our personal life, in our psychological life, in that part of our life, our personality, how we interface with others? And the answer is we could. And we're going to break them down into 9 categories. And today, as I said, we'll do 4. We're going to, you know, analogize. That's not a word, but we make words up here. Blood pressure to trust, pulse to social, pulse oximeter to uniqueness and individuality, temperature to hostility and anger, respiratory rate to reactivity and addiction, weight to empathy, blood test to self-esteem, chest x-ray to dependency, and the EKG to control. So today we're going to go over trust, our social interactions, our uniqueness and individuality, and we're going to talk about our hostility and anger. Angel, did I lose you?
No, not at all. I mean, I think everything that you've just hit is on the button.
Excellent. So remember what I said, Angel. Everything is a range, right? Everything falls in a range. You can have distrust. You could be a skeptic. I know a lot of people actually who automatically distrust everything, but it's the level of distrust is your, and also the pervasiveness of your distrust. Are you just a skeptical person? Because in this world, especially the world that we're sadly podcasting into, is a pretty scary place. I think it's kind of healthy to have a little distrust. My wife's computer just got hacked. That's why I'm down in the basement, because I can't use her computer because we're trying to figure all that out. You know, it's okay to have a certain level of distrust. Every day, people get calls and emails about scammers from scammers. Imagine the poor elderly who get these calls and they give all their private information and then they get scammed and they lose money that they don't have. So to have a little distrust is okay. But if it really bleeds into pervasive distrust, or it causes paranoia, as I was joking that Angel has, but he really doesn't, you know, then we have a problem. These are all vital signs. This is your blood pressure. Unreasonable fears, meaning it's okay to have a fear or skepticism of someone trying to rip you off. Or if you're walking down a dark alley in Paterson, New Jersey in the projects, which I had to do every Friday night when I used to collect for my paper route, and I carried a baseball bat, I wouldn't say that I was paranoid or have unreasonable fear. I believe that I had fears that were pretty justified, that I was going to get robbed. The other thing is that there are a group of people who fall off that range, who believe just any comment or, you know, any sort of, you know, what would you say, stream of words that comes out of another person's mouth are meant as slights or insults. I mean, you know, if somebody, you know, says something stupid and hurts your feelings, that's one thing. But I mean, if you think that everything that's coming out of someone's mouth, I actually just had an interaction with a family member where, like, talk about really everything I said became like an insult and it wasn't meant to be, you know, then you know you're off the chart, you know, that you're off the range. Also, another vital sign, you know, another thing that could help you with this particular vital sign is, do you hold grudges? Now, if someone really screws you over and you have a grudge, that's fine. Or if you want to keep your environment pristine, or you want to, you know, you don't want to have toxic people in your life, that's completely fine. But I mean, do you have any friends? I mean, do you hold grudge? Like, did every person you've ever had any contact with and tried to get close with, you know, did they do something that disappointed you? And now you hold a grudge against pretty much everybody, and you're alone. So, you know, then that's kind of a red flag. These are all red flags, not in and of themselves, but for, you know, the purposes of getting to know who you are and then to help you get to where you want to be. And lastly, unwarranted jealousy. So sometimes people can have jealousy. Angel, your wife is gorgeous. She works in the jewelry, industry. I'm sure guys come in all the time trying to, you know, buy jewelry. And, you know, I'm sure Rachel has pretty much heard every pickup line that there probably is in the world, right?
Absolutely. But mine works the best.
You totally. I mean, I'll tell you what. God bless you. There's so many things I could say that I'm not going to. Let's leave it at that.
Don't worry. I wouldn't hold a grudge.
But you get it. Unwarranted.
No, I do. I do. I mean, you made a good point. And I mean, we made it. We always make jokes here. But yes, there, you know, it does play a factor. And I think this also goes back to and relates to what we're talking about, who you are as a person. Because if you are a person that has an insecurity or can accidentally acquire an insecurity, because you're not sure of where you want to be in life, that can show its ugly head.
Exactly. The second thing we're going to talk about today is we're going to talk about the analogy between taking your pulse and looking at your how healthy your social interactions are. So there are people, believe it or not, and let me put it to you this way. There are times when people ask me, you want to go out to dinner, you want to do something, or let's get together. And like, I'm like bushed, you know, Angel, we're at different parts of our life, but we're both, when we get home, we're exhausted. Sometimes I remember the day I shanghaied you to a Mets game and I thought I was doing you this great favor. And it turned out, luckily, that turned out to be a really good event, a positive event. But, you know, I didn't really think about it. Like, you were probably like, it was a Saturday. You had a rare day off. You have two little kids under 4 years old. And you work your ass off and, you know, maybe a day just sitting on the bed and watching, you know, wrestling or just kind of, you know, maybe that would have been an attractive thing for you. But instead I took you by the ear and brought you in the car and took you to Citi Field. But, you know, it's healthy sometimes not to really have that interest in being social. However, if it gets to the point where it's really, again, off the charts, if you have zero interest in ever being social, that might be a red flag for you to look at. Also, unlike us, Angel, who really wear our emotions on our sleeves, there are people that I'm sure you know that have a very limited range of emotion or a range of expression. Another red flag. So are you that type of person where people like really can't read you or really think you're like robotic or whatever? That might be a problem. You might even be on the spectrum, as they say, and might need some help to address that. Do you have an inability to experience pleasure? Not just to the little things, because, you know, people always are criticizing people saying, man, you're not appreciating where you are right now. Like we're climbing Bear Mountain and you're like, yeah, well, it's not, you know, Chamonix, France, or we're not in the Alps, or no, you're not. You're at Bear Mountain. But you know what? Bear Mountain's pretty damn beautiful too. And, you know, there's the Hudson River and there's the, you know, Bear Mountain Bridge and there's the Military Academy and there's Mount Beacon and there's Anthony's Nose. And look at all those amazing pine trees and look at the little squirrels and the little deer and all that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, there's beauty everywhere. And if you really can't derive joy there, but even more important, like say you are in Paris and it's, you know, on the hour that Eiffel Tower lights up and it's 8 o'clock at night and it's pitch black. And then you see all these lights on the Eiffel Tower. Like if you don't look at that and say, oh my God, that is so freaking gorgeous. Or you go into the Louvre and you see the Mona Lisa, or you'd see, you know, one of the great wonders of the world. If you guys are lucky enough to travel the world to see the pyramids of Cairo, and like you're sitting there and you're going, oh man, that's not that impressive, you know, geez, then, you know, we have a problem, right? And we talked about the blunted affect, just not really being able to express that emotion. Or romance, maybe you have little or no interest in being romantic or exploring the romantic part of your life or intimacy and those types of things. You know, that could be a vital sign. That's your pulse, right? Your social interactions, your engagement with others, something to look at. And when you do your deep dive into yourself, pulse oximetry, your uniqueness and individuality. And Angel, I don't think there's a day that goes by that people say to me, first of all, I walk in the door, the last thing they think I am is their doctor. So like me being their doctor is like choice number seven, because I walk in like, you know, like a bull in a china shop. I'm wearing a jersey. I'm wearing a lanyard with all my pens around it. I have these Harry Potter glasses. You know, I have a bald head, you know, and a chubby face. And they're like, you know, who the hell are you? I'm your doctor. Who did you think I was? And, you know, I'd like to think that I do have this need to be unique, or I do like to express my individuality. When we were, you know, starting this podcast, since we are in the basement, I said, I have all my jerseys down here on, well, and we'll talk about OCD and control and all my different racks on a different podcast. But I will say that, you know, I feel that there are unique qualities to me. Angel Santana, my dear friend, he works his ass off. He's the best husband, best father, best friend, best brother, best son, blah, blah, blah. And he works really hard. But this guy really hasn't really even touched below the tip of the iceberg of his talent. One day he will not have to work anymore because he will be doing podcasts full time. He is an amazing announcer. He's an amazing public speaker. He's an amazing spiritual speaker. There's great things in his future. And, you know, being, you know, taking the switchboard at a hospital, as important as that job is, ain't going to be forever. So he is unique in his own ways. But when it gets too much, and maybe this is where my personality vital sign might be a little off, you know, being a little too weird or a little bit too unique, you know, maybe it's a red flag too. How far do you take it? This could actually get into some real psychosis stuff, like some really serious mental illness. This is the category where people who hear voices or have magical thinking are really not living in this particular world, living in a different reality, or have an issue with reality. Most everybody we talk to, you know, fortunately is neurotic, but not psychotic, but they don't have the arm of the discipline of psychiatry without a reason. And there are some very mentally ill people who really require help. So if this podcast can identify some of those red flags for them, and this helps bring them into the care of a mental health, you know, specialist, then God bless, that would be fantastic. The last thing we're going to talk about today before we cut off to part two for next week is we're going to take our temperature, and we're going to look at something that I think is very important, and that's hostility and anger. So once I was driving on the New Jersey Parkway, being the Jersey boy that I was, and of course, everyone has had road rage. There's just no question about it. And there was this Cadillac. Now, everybody in New Jersey, right, is Italian, and everybody in New Jersey that's Italian, of course, is in the mob, right? Because that's all I heard my whole life when I went to medical school, and all my classmates thought that I was, you know, a mobster because my name ended in a vowel. But in this particular day, this Cadillac was totally effing with me. And I mean, I was like passing him and he was passing me, and he looked like a real Guido, you know, with the silk shirt and all the chains, and he's riding a Cadillac, and I, you know, playing along, you know, getting angrier and angrier and angrier. So finally we were side by side on New Jersey Parkway, and the guy pulls a gun out. So the first thing that I do, of course, is hit the brakes and said, it was nice playing with you, but I'm done playing. My road rage is over. And that was that. And that's normal to have a little hostility, a little bit of anger, But when it gets a little out of control and your road rage becomes, or just not even road rage, just your temperament. I mean, there are hostile, angry people, right? I mean, there's just nothing, you know, there's no way we could avoid that. We look at the news every day. There are just terrible, angry people. And if there's any of those people listening that we could touch and they could look at their inner self and say, you know what? It's a, you know, hostility, anger is normal to a certain degree, but do I take it too far? Do I have any antisocial tendencies? And that's a tendency where you really have no regard for the rights or the, you know, or the, or any other person's, you know, what would you say, the sanctity of another life. Have you ever had any problems with the law? Do you consistently violate other people's rights? Do you express yourself violently? Do you get into fist fights, not just fights yelling at people, although that's also anger, but actual fist fights or bar fights, extreme road rage. We've heard, you know, I think we said last week about the coach that that was coaching 8-year-olds, got in a fight with the other coach from the other team and shot the guy and killed him. You know, that's a bit, you know, on the temperature side, a little bit too hot. You got yourself a fever for sure. Another really important red flag is your lack of remorse. Do you have a lack of remorse? Do you really, if you do do something stupid, do you not care? Does it not bother you? Do you notice that you're impulsive or irresponsible? And I have a really, another really great measuring stick for this particular vital sign. So what are you watching on YouTube? What are you watching on the internet? So I was out with someone, I'm not going to reveal their names, but someone very dear to me. And we were waiting for the Super Bowl several years ago. And while we were in this dead zone, you know, in the time between, you know, 4 o'clock and 6 o'clock or whatever, we didn't want to watch the pregame show. He was just kind of going through the YouTube or the internet, just, you know, whatever. And the stuff that he put up there was very disturbing, to say the least. I mean, serial killers, animal torturers. I mean, just very, 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 very dark stuff. And what was darker was he was actually getting a kick out of it, you know, finding it funny. And I got to tell you, that's a red flag out there. So today we talked about blood pressure and trust, you know, the analogy, pulse and our social interactions, the pulse oximeter, our uniqueness and individuality, and our temperature, our level of hostility and anger. Do you, our dearest cancer survivors, have what you feel to be emotions or traits that are not within the normal range? If you do, fear not. This series is to help you identify these things, and we will help you find the help you need to change these things so you could become the person you want to be. Angel Santana.
I think that today's episode will explore, allow us all to explore who we want to be. And I think that these are great steps and great ways for you to identify, you know, where you want to start off with. Because I think a lot of us at one point in time, it doesn't matter what age, it really doesn't. But I think speaking for myself, as I've gotten older and wiser and become a parent, I have started to identify who I wanted to be as a person. And I think this will be a great structure for anyone that really wants to identify who they are, where they want to be. And also, once they determine all those factors, if they're happy with the choices they've made today and moving forward.
Angel, thank you very much for those words. I agree 100% for being our co-host. Thank you for touching all of our survivors. Thank you for being you. Rod Freeman, Small Biz Up. Dude, we're meeting on Tuesday. Can't wait. Miss you. Hope all is well. Thank you for helping Angel and his frozen leaking pipes. And thank you on behalf of everything you do for our survivors. Our board of directors, always, always in our face to make a better product. Always, always in our face to make sure we're doing the right thing for our survivors. Thank you for your time, and thank you for your generosity of your talents. Michael John Benzea, Charlotte, thank you for believing in us. And of course, your support of our podcast. And of course, our survivors. This is our pep talk time. You guys are amazing. You are the entire reason why Angel and I are doing this podcast. We're not doing this for us. We're not trying to, you know, extend our professional careers. We're not looking to become famous. We're not looking to become rich, at least not through this podcast endeavor. Perhaps, you know, betting on a fast horse or a really good sports team might be our ticket, or a lottery ticket might be our way to glory, but certainly not at your expense. We are here for you guys. We're here to help you, give you certain tools, give you some uplifting, let you know how amazing you are, let you know how brave you are, let you know how tough you are, let you know how strong you are, because I'm sure there are days that you doubt yourself. And we are going to leverage your cancer. We are going to take this diagnosis, this nightmare, this tragedy, and we're going to turn it into triumph for you. And this particular series is trying to get you guys to use that tragedy and use that as your leverage point, as your stronghold, to try to tear away all the layers of crap that have covered all of us and sort of kept the light out from illuminating and letting us know who the person is within us, of who we are, and then being able to recognize and come to peace with that person, and then slowly reconstruct and become the survivor that you want to be. On behalf of Angel Santana, the board of directors, and everyone else involved in this podcast, we end this podcast as we end every podcast by wishing you all a long, healthy, happy, and cancer-free life. God bless you. God be with you. Peace.